the solution that you have in those stability functions and allows you to express this in terms of being proportional to the momentum shear. And once you add in these terms with have the Stokes shear, you can no longer do that. You can no longer express vertical momentum flux as being proportional to the Eulerian shear. And you have to insert a part down here that the vertical flux momentum will have a portion that's proportional to the Eulerian shear, but also a portion that's proportional to the Stokes shear. And the implications of this are a little bit bizarre. It pays to maybe open up an LES solution and see if they make sense. So you take just a step, one of these steady state solutions. This is from forcing with 35 knots and fully developed seas. It's not what you expect right under a hurricane, but it might be a reasonable thing to encounter in the outer field in the forward right quadrant. And this says that we're looking at the different terms of the vertical momentum flux. There's this time scale term on the outside. There's an energy term times the vertical shear. There is also this other energy term times the vertical shear. And I find you have to add an additional small closure term to represent additional pressure, velocity effects. But if you look at these different terms and compare them with the LES vertical flux momentum, which is the black dashed line, right? What you normally expect to be carrying the momentum, that's the blue line here, that's proportional to the vertical shear of Eulerian momentum. And it's not contributing at all. Most of the momentum is produced by simply combining energy and shear in Stokes graphs. So in the interior here, where you actually expect this sort of algebraic solution to be reasonable, you find that, yeah, it does actually predict what the vertical momentum be. The momentum is carried through the layer in fluid by Stokes shift drift, not by shear of the Eulerian field, but by the fact that the waves have a significant shear in their drift. So you have to write stability functions, and when I put this up in the fall, Peter Mueller couldn't help laughing. So I've added milk of magnesia to the sun higher part. This is deriving the stability functions again with these extra terms. You add any small amount of extra physics to the equilibrium model, and these become much more difficult to solve. You get one solution for one particular set of assumptions, and this solution notably includes now new non-dimensional forcing functions. It includes non-dimensional forcing from the product of Stokes and Eulerian shear and from the Stokes shear square. So I've worked with trying to code this up and tune it, and I've tuned it to work best in my LES simulations of Hurricane Francis, which are very similar what Peter has been showing. And so my target is to get this entrainment rate correct. So I was poorly labeled here. This is, I showed a version of this earlier. It's the energy and rate of energy into entrainment work scaled on the vertical scale on the surface friction velocity. And the blue ones are the LES ones that I showed earlier. And then rerunning them again with this modified second moment closure, I get a little bit more sensitivity to surface Langmuir number. And then the other thing I've been looking at is the ability to represent what happens when wind and waves go in different directions. And so this one down here shows the effect of wind wave angle. And the diamonds here are LES solutions. And if you're aligned, then you get this much work done for U star cubed. And if you start to be misaligned, or you go off the opposite direction, you get much less work. Using the scaling for vertical TKE, you can kind of get an estimate of what that behavior would be, and that's what I get with this dashed line. But using this model, you get the red line, you get similar behavior, but generally the closure models are a little bit high. if you go back to a simulation of LES behavior, this is LES on the left, forced very similarly to Peter's model. And this is what currently would happen in MCOM using Miller Yamada. The most notable differences are that in LES, the Eulerian velocity is well mixed, not in this model. There's a little bit of difference in the timing. The LES with Stokes drift cools a little bit earlier. And then the most notable difference is LES model removes the shear here. And in MCOM, the shear is still rather, the shear is still relatively large in the interior. You have a much more sheared mixed layer. And the new second mode closure, it's much more well mixed in momentum in the upper ocean. And I also get better behavior down here in the bottom in this shear. And there's a transition right before the maximum, where this is really the recoil of the region that is dominated by surface Stokes drift. Stokes drift dynamics. And this is probably about the same region that that Peter has been seeing these overturns. And there's too much to talk about in other aspects of this. And a quick look, and this is a perspective from doing a series of cone models across the track. And if you look for differences in how much relative effects there are, there's enhancements in the forward right quadrant. This is the center of the typhoon going this way. And there are reductions in the amount of work in OER. And I'll skip the slide. Yeah. So what do we need? Wave modified turbulence exposure and LES with Peter's needs as well. We need wind and wave forcing from typhoons to simulate the observations. And when I hear the talks, the most crucial thing is that none of the wave simulations I've heard of have winds in them that match the observations. And that's kind of a problem. I'm going to try and compare those LES or models forced with that to observations beneath those very highest winds. I'm generally looking for a collaboration to put this modified closure model into MCOM or into the Miami model. The data thing, I did during the field work, I did a lot of production of imagery for use on in the field for downloaded ships. It's kind of customized for that, and I'm a little unsure about how relevant that is to the data storage needs, and if we could bring that up in discussion, maybe it would be a good place. Any questions? The Osmodoff limit on the turbulence length scale. And so I think there's been a lot of debate between people who use the general ocean Commission Turbulence Model and Scale, and people who have been in development know, whether you're not here, about what the right way is to affect that dependence on stability and its effect on the sharpness of the bottom of the turbulence. I don't think there's a really good solution yet, but I've tried a couple different things that seem to improve that behavior, and they're not in. I think in NCOM they impose it very severely, that you're limited by Osmanowski.
Any other questions?
Sure.
Yes,
it's the your model can actually identify the wind and wave alignment. So I'm just wondering how we can go about with the spectral model output. So in the way that you're representing, the spectral model output is not explicit wave resolving. So you're looking at the representation is more statistical because it's a different wave type.
Actually, both of the models that I'm doing are run with spectral model output from WaveWatch.
Okay, so you use the dominant wave
population? No, I take the whole 2D spectrum in. You can do something intermediate. You can take in what are called the A and B that they have in when they reported on NBC for directional longitudinal spectra. You can use something a little bit less than 2D. But generally, you need all the information that's in 2D. You can't just pick out the maximum peak where you'll get really the wrong forcing.
Thank you. Our last panel for today and this morning will be